Well, Happy New Year, and I pray that it truly is a new year for you, that 2017 is not 2016, that you are not the same person at the end of 2017 as you were at the end of 2016. Doing some reading and found that slightly over 50% of believers today say that they are absolutely committed to their faith, while another 35% or so say that they are moderately committed. What about those 50% who say they're absolutely committed? Where's the other 50% lie, that other 15%? And what studies show is that we're rapidly becoming a nation of Sunday morning only Christians, that we are feel good about giving an hour on Sunday and then calling it a week. And out of that, even with all of that, slightly over 50% of people who say that they are Christians attend church on any given Sunday. Now, I know that's not the measure of our faith, but it is one of the signs that show us the level and depth of our faith. The other sign that gives us a level and depth of our faith is that only one in three Christians believe that it is their responsibility to share the gospel with other people, despite the Great Commission, despite Christ saying that we would be his witnesses. And so why are these numbers so low? We would hope that, especially as a pastor, you would hope that everybody that's in church would say they're 100% absolutely committed to their faith. But I think it is part of the devil's plan to those in the kingdom. It's his wonderful strategy to say that we can be part of the world and do the things that the world does, and that takes us away from our faith in the Lord. Faith says, go ahead, continue to do the things that you're doing. They're not that bad. They're okay. But I want you to think of this morning, just as I talked with the girls. I want you to think this morning that when you left this parking lot this morning, what if an unbeliever shadowed you for a whole week until you came back here again next Sunday? I wonder what they would say about your life. I wonder what they would say about the things that they saw you do. Would they say that your life was an example of one committed completely to Jesus? Would they see a difference in your life compared to their unbelieving friends? What would this shadow say about what you watched on TV, what you listened to, what kind of books you read, what kind of magazines you read? At the end of the week, would the shadow have any reason to doubt whether you were truly a believer or not? See, that's one of the biggest hang-ups that unbelievers have. That's part of our problem in reaching a lost generation of people, is that this air of hypocrisy that they see in us, where we come to church and we speak one way, we talk one way, we treat our wives and our spouses, our children one way, and then as soon as we leave here and we go home, things begin to change. We say that we're Christians, but yet we sit around at work and maybe we tell off-color jokes, or we gossip right along with everybody else. Or people believe that we're Christians, we're walking around with our Christian t-shirt or carrying our Bible, and then we demean or belittle other people. See, this is what an unbelieving generation of our time see. And people today, especially young people, that's the new generation that we're not reaching in church today, not just our church, but other churches, but they see this air of hypocrisy and they say, wow, I don't want to be a part of something where people aren't radically committed to. We're busy. We're a busy people. We're overscheduled. We have lots of things going on. And people today don't want to belong to anything where people are only halfway committed, where they're doing the hokey-pokey with their faith. You know, they put one foot in, they put one foot out, they put one arm in, they put one arm out. With your shadow following you around, it would be my hope as the pastor of the church, that at the end of the week, that person will go, wow, there is no doubt in my mind that this person is absolutely, positively, 100% committed to Jesus Christ. That would be an awesome thing. And I know right now you guys are going, it's New Year, I'm making some resolutions, I'm going to do some things different. We just back off. I know we're not perfect, and we're trying to change, and I'm sure that you are. I'm sure that you're trying to change, but I want to share this whole passage with you again from Romans chapter 12 as we go back to the book of Romans to try to finish up this book in the next few months. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, it's interesting that we say, well, we're trying to change, trying to be different. But, you know, change is really easy if you think about it. Especially in church, we make change out to be so hard, but change is really easy. How many of you changed your clothes from what you wore to bed last night? Wasn't that difficult, was it? How many of you will change your clothes when you go home? Not that hard. How many of you will change your TV stations 3 or 4 times today? Change is not that hard. It is really pretty easy to change. How many of you will change your mind a couple times about what you're going to do for lunch? But Paul says we're not to change. Paul never says we are to change. He says we are to be transformed. And the Greek word for transformed is metamorpho, which is actually the word we get our word metamorphosis from. The caterpillar again transforms into a butterfly, and the butterfly never changes back into a caterpillar. Transforming is a major life-altering event. Once that caterpillar becomes a butterfly, it is a butterfly for the rest of his life. See, the word change, I believe, is for those who aren't very serious about their faith life. See, God is looking for life-altering transformation. Change is kind of the easy way. He is looking for people who are truly committed to surrendering everything that they have to becoming a follower of Christ. The caterpillar surrendered everything that it was to become a butterfly. In our scripture this morning, Paul calls us to do as the butterfly. He calls us to give all, surrender everything to the transforming process that God has asked us to be. Paul calls us to surrender our bodies. Again, listen to the passage. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Paul says, don't just surrender, but he pleads, he begs. This is an impassioned plea. He says, my brothers and sisters, give everything you have, give everything that you have to the Lord because of all the wonderful things that he has done for you. See, he created you. He made you wonderfully. There's nothing haphazard or just thrown together about you. He knit you in your mother's womb with a purpose in mind to give you hope and a future and to prosper. And he's continued to watch over you, even though there are days when you don't even give him a second thought. He watches over you. He knows the number of your days. He even knows the number of hairs on your head, Scripture says. And then he gave up his one and only son, stainless, spotless, perfect son for your sins. God made him without any sin to bear all of our sins so that we would not have to pay that price. And so he begs us. He doesn't just ask us. He begs us to offer up our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that God would find acceptable. See, God's standards are much different than our standards. His standards are much higher than our standards. So Paul says, offer up what is acceptable to God. He says, don't just offer up an arm or a leg or maybe, you know, hey, you can have a kidney. Paul says, offer up your whole body, your whole physical presence. He is asking us for a total, radical, all 100% in type of relationship. Sherry's boss at her school is all out committed, 100% radical K-State fan. I mean, travels to every away game. I mean, her office, I've tried to sneak in Nebraska memorabilia and put on her shelves. I mean, everything in there is K-State. And we're working on the relationship with the Lord part because she's totally committed, sold out to K K-State. Some of you may be totally sold out, committed to your jobs or some other activity. But when it comes time for your faith, maybe you're part of that 35% or the other 15% that's not 100% sold out to your faith all the time. And so how do we do this? How do we offer up our body? Well, the first thing is to make sure that you live out what you believe. Not some of the time, not 50% of the time, not 75% of the time, but all the time. There's no such thing as an off-duty Christian, right? We are always on. We're always being watched. Make sure what goes into your body through your mind, your mouth, whatever it is pleasing to God. There are people in church who will treat this physical temple with greater respect than they'll treat the temple that the Holy Spirit dwells in. Offer your body as a living sacrifice to God. The second part of that is he calls us to surrender our mind, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there is a lot of competition for our minds today. I mean, with the internet, everything is accessible to us. So many books, so many magazines, so many things to read. Most of us probably have TV stations with, or take TV service with hundreds of stations competing for our time. And it is so easy to sit down in front of the TV and change the channel mindlessly as stuff spews in. Desperate Housewives, Cougar Town, shows like that, violence in computer games. The largest business on the internet today is pornography. And it's all readily accessible with the push of a button. And therein lies the problem with us, because the mind controls the body. What goes into our mind controls the rest of our body. And we cannot continue to put garbage into our minds 24/7 and then expect to offer our bodies as living sacrifices to Christ. We cannot live in a Christ-like manner if that's what we're putting in. So how do we renew our minds as we go into this new year? Well, the first thing is take out the trash. Anything that is not God-honoring, go through your house, find it, and get rid of it. Is it going to be tough? Yeah. All of us probably have stuff in our house that's not exactly God-honoring. But Christ never told us it was going to be easy. The road to following him was not going to be one that was easily navigated. Spend quiet time with God. There are many times that Sherry and I can just sit and hold hands with no conversation going on. One of our favorite places in Manhattan to go was Conza Prairie. We could just go out there and walk for an hour, never say a word, but just be thinking and praying individually to what's going on. And it can be really moving at times. If you haven't tried that for a while, maybe the electricity needs to go out for a day or two. And we can have some quiet time with God. Develop a consistent devotional life. Find a daily devotional if you have to. Mine came this past week. My new man in the mirror one, it is for a quarter, and it starts today. So it will guide me this process in this year through reading the whole Bible every year. I'm not always perfect in keeping mine up, but I'm trying to change and do a better job. By focusing on the promises of God is another way that we can renew our mind. Focus on the promises that he has for us, to supply our every need, that his grace is sufficient, that there is victory over death, that all things do work together for God. Those are the things that I concentrate on, and then when I find those or when I experience those, I rejoice in those as a reminder that God has promised them to me. There are probably other promises in the Bible that are more important to you, but find some, make a list of those that are important to you, and then when they happen, take some time to rejoice in them and thank God for what's going on. The other thing that is important, I believe, in renewing your mind is attending church regularly so that teaching can help you grow. I would hope that when you leave here on Sundays, you have learned even a little something that helps you further along down the path to being a road to a disciple. I don't know about you, but my week usually goes better when I'm in the house of the Lord on Sundays, when I come together with my brothers and sisters, because even as the pastor, I need your encouragement and your prayers just like you need ours. And I know some of you are going, yeah, but you get paid to be here. I don't see being the pastor of the church as Sunday getting paid to be here. I see pastoring the church being Monday through Friday, you know, making sure that the bulletins are right, all that kind of stuff, all those administrative things are taking care of people, but Sunday I'm going to be here whether you pay me or not. My week goes better. If Sherry and I are on the road traveling, we try to find some place to go worship all the time because I need the fellowship. I need to be in God's presence with a body of people. Next week, we'll pick up in Romans chapter 12, and that's what he talks about. He talks about the body of Christ, being a member in the body of Christ and how important it is. And finally, in our passage today, Paul calls us to surrender our will. Listen again. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The word approve means that we commend or endorse. And I'll tell you right now, that your will and my will are less than good and less than pleasing and perfect to God. Our will is not that way. There is only one, Christ, one without sin, one without blemish. And even he, in the garden before his crucifixion, prayed that God's will would be done. Not his will, but God's will would be done. And I think that we're arrogant sometimes as Christians on earth here, that we think, what makes us think that our will, our desires, our wants are so good and pleasing and perfect? Again, God's standards are so much higher than ours. Let me turn to a passage here for you, if you would. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And I want to share just a little bit with you. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. See, we crave physical pleasure, which is lust of the flesh. It's in our human nature because of sin. We crave everything that we see, which is lust of the eye. And then as humans, it's so easy for us to take pride in our accomplishments and our possessions. And therein lies the pride issue. But true satisfaction comes when we fulfill God's will for our lives. When we set aside our less than perfect will for God's will. All right, it's New Year. And as a personal trainer, and I see how many of you, anybody got diet on their New Year's resolutions? As a personal trainer, that's usually the number one resolution on everybody's New Year. And do you know that 90% of all diets fail? 90% of all diets fail. And the 10% that do succeed, 90% of those people will gain all their weight back within a year. Why is that? Why do you think that is? It's because our willpower has no strength. Our willpower is not strong enough. It has no bite, we can say. But it's only when we give up our will to God's will and let his power take over that our will can become anything. So how do we surrender? How do we surrender our wills? Well, the first thing that we have to do is have a committed prayer life. We have to pray that we surrender our will, that we use the Lord's Prayer. Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And we must pray about everything and then let God have his way in everything. Because too often we pray and then when God gives us an answer, we go, well, that's not that way, God. Is there another way? Jesus prayed that. He said, is there any other way? If not, then your will be done. And it can happen. The surrender of body, mind, and will are possible if we just choose to do something radically different. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of the world. The thing that the world says is okay or not okay. The New Living Translation says don't copy the behaviors of the world. The Message Version says don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. And unfortunately, that's happened to so many Christians. We have fit into our world, and nobody can tell the difference except for on Sunday morning between us and them. I know we don't have as many young people here this morning, but young people, some of you who are still in school, there is a shadow watching you everything you do. When you get up and get dressed in the morning, he's there with you. When you talk back to your parents, he's there with you. When you and your friends sit around at school and rag on your teachers and talk about them, he is there with you. When you're there making fun of other people in school, your shadow, Jesus Christ, is there watching you. When you get on the computer and go places you shouldn't go, when you're watching shows that you shouldn't, he's there watching you. When you don't honor your parents, he is there watching you. He is Jesus Christ. Those of you who are moms and dads and grandparents, there is one following you around all week as well. He's watching as you let your children or your grandchildren and yourselves be conformed to the world. He wonders why you would let any child in your household watch or wear what you let them wear. He wonders why you've joined in the gossip with your friends. For those of you who are still working, he wonders why you're not giving your all on the job. He wonders why you allow questionable TV to be in your house. He's with you when you tear down the school system and rag on the teachers or other people, leaders in our community, or other people in church. And he's there watching when you fail to honor your spouse as well. In his book, Confronting Casual Christianity, Charles Stanley poses some pretty interesting questions. He says, if the church in America today has 100 million members, why in the world aren't we making more of a spiritual impact in our country? Why is it on Sunday morning there are more empty spaces in church than there are full spaces? Why is it that in any given church in our country on a Sunday morning, only 50% of the people, members of the church, are expected to attend? And he wonders why, if Christians really believe in heaven and hell, how can we be so silent about the way that people can come to know that they would spend eternity in heaven rather than hell? And his answer, he says in his book, is that God's people have made a decision about Jesus, but they have never made a commitment to him. So as we close in prayer this morning, again, it's the beginning of a new year, I'm going to go ahead and ask everybody to take their place on the platform. Pianos, song leaders, and if just start playing a little bit behind us. I'm going to give you some quiet time this morning for a few minutes. We have plenty of time to get you out of here and get you to Sunday school. But I want you to reflect on where you stand this morning. Have you made a decision about Jesus but yet have not made a commitment to him? If that's you this morning, then you're right where Satan and the rest of the world wants you to be. But if you want to be where Christ desires, then maybe you need to come this morning. Maybe it's time to use these pew kneelers up here, get on your knees and ask God to help you get to a place of surrender, that you might be more radical than ever in your pursuit of God. But if you're here this morning and you have never even made a decision about Jesus, that you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, as we stand to sing in a few moments, as we pray here, I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. I'm not going to ask you to make a big show, but I just want you to stand wherever you are. If you've never made a decision for Jesus Christ today, as we pray, I want you to stand in acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is now your Lord and Savior. And again, as we get ready to sing, maybe today is the day you need to spend some time on your knees asking God to help you transform your mind and becoming a living sacrifice, one that is perfect and pleasing to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to this new year, I pray that we will not continue on as usual, that it would be a new year, that we would continue to be a new me, a new Rick, a new Sherry, whoever it might be, that we would continue down the path of growing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That it's not going to always be an easy path, that we would take out the trash, anything that would keep us from our relationship, that from this day forward we would get rid of it, anything that would go into our mind or our body that is not pleasing to you, that we would get rid of it, and that we would begin to pray in earnest prayer that you would help us to become radically more like you. That your will be done regardless of the cost and time and finances and what people think about us, but that we would be radically 100% sold out to you in this new year, that we would begin to or continue in a new and different way to make a difference spiritually in our community. That working with other churches, that one day there would not be one unsaved soul in our community through our efforts. If you're here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would. Just stand where you are this morning. Jesus loves you, and he wants nothing more than for you to spend eternity in heaven with him. We're all sinners, and Jesus Christ paid the price of that sin, which is death, eternal separation from God. And so if you're here this morning, you've never accepted that free gift, I ask that you would just stand this morning where you are. Let God speak to your heart. Father, I have no doubt that everyone here this morning loves you. But I pray that you would help us not only to just love you, but that we would be again sold out, complete living sacrifice to you, that nothing else on this earth would matter but your will and your will only as we move into this new year. Father, there is a growing number of people growing faster than we can begin to imagine who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Help us to reach them for the kingdom in 2017. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.